In 1944, Britain led the world in electronic computing, and women's work brought high-tech growth until the 1960s. But by 1974, the British computer industry was all but extinct, and Silicon Valley had taken over. Marie Hicks, Assistant Professor of History at the Illinois Institute of Technology, is the author of Programmed Inequality, How Britain Discarded Women Technologists and Lost Its Edge in Computing. What does she mean by programmed inequality?
Programmed inequality is kind of a pun because I'm talking about computer programmers, but it's also meant to talk about structural discrimination because this model of discrimination was quite literally programmed into the structures of British industry and government.
How important then were women in British computing in the Second World War?
They were enormously important. The Colossus operators who operated the famous British code-breaking machines did everything from hardware troubleshooting and even putting together the computers to operating and programming them. And the work that they did had a material influence on the outcome of the war. For instance, the Allies knew where to land at D-Day because of the intelligence provided by these computers.
How were they phased out?
Well, the Colossus operators were phased out because the war ended and Britain was absolutely determined to keep it secret that these computers had ever existed. So, in fact, the Colossus operators' final job at Bletchley Park was to break down their own machines into pieces no bigger than a man's fist, is what Churchill said.
But why were women phased out generally then? Okay, they had to get rid of those machines and those jobs went, but they were experienced computer operators.
Exactly. So women don't leave computer operating just because World War II ends. They continue on in the field as operators and as programmers through the 50s, the 60s, and even into the 70s. But around the mid-1960s or so, there's a change in the understanding of the power of these computers. And all of a sudden, jobs that were seen as technical, which at that time wasn't a good thing, are suddenly seen as more managerial. And so it's suddenly a problem that these rather low status workers, these women workers, are in charge of these incredibly important computers. Now, they had been doing the jobs all along and doing them very well, but when it becomes an issue of the government and industry leaders recognizing, hey, these computers are really quite important for wielding power, you can imagine what starts to happen in who they hire for the jobs.
So what was the impact on the portrayal of women in computing? You know, where are the images?
One of the ways that women's images are used throughout the entire time they're in the field, and even as they start to get phased out, is women are used in advertisements to show that computers are somehow simple to use, to try to make them unintimidating to managers who are going to buy the computers. But this wasn't just in advertisements, this was in real life as well. So the major British computing companies at the time had what they called demonstration teams, and these were all women. They would go around and they would teach people how to use the computers they had bought, teach managers and their staffs how to program the computers. They would do programming for them.
But they didn't have any high-ranking jobs.
No, even when they were doing things that you would imagine would put them at a higher level, they would sometimes be called typists even. There's one ad that I love that says, "This typist can control all of your stock and invoicing needs with the help of her computer." And in the text of the ad, it talks all about the programming she's going to be doing. But of course, she was still only called a typist and only paid as a typist.
So what generally was the impact on equal pay in the industry?
Well, the impact on equal pay was very interesting. The fact that women were doing these jobs in such majority made the job seem, but not actually be, de-skilled. And this meant that pay was kept at an artificially low level. And so in the 60s, when young men start to be essentially pushed into the field to professionalize it, there has to be a huge pay rise for these young men to even take the jobs. And for a certain amount of time, some women benefit from this, but eventually they get cut out as the field professionalizes.
What have been the consequences for the British computing industry?
Well, the consequences for the British computing industry were very stark and very surprising. I didn't expect this when I went into the archives, but what I found out was that because Great Britain was essentially throwing away most of its trained technical labor force right as they were trying to ramp up for a computing revolution, what happened was they completely shot their own computing industry in the foot. And the reason for this is because the government, in particular, told the computing industry that they needed ever larger, more massive mainframes to account for the fact that they didn't have enough people to run them, so they had to keep centralizing. And by the time ICL, the big company in the field, actually makes these huge mainframes for the government, it's an era when the mainframe is on the way out. And so nobody else wants to buy these machines. And in fact, at that point, even the government doesn't want to buy them.
So what difference would more women remaining in the business have made to what was actually produced?
Well, I think it would have made a huge difference in terms of the quality and scope of software that's out there. And this isn't just hypothetical. If you look at, for instance, Dame Stephanie Shirley, who left the government after working there, and she went on to found her own freelance programming company and was enormously, enormously successful. And she actually ended up producing a lot of software that was very important to government and industry. So that's just one person and one example. And you can imagine how many other women would have been doing really important and valuable work if they hadn't essentially been pushed out of the field.
So what was the impact on the British economy of pushing women out?
Well, in the most basic sense, it certainly hurt the GDP. In a larger sense, you know, in the 20th century, the UK is going through a period of sort of a decline, a downward slide. And one of the things that Harold Wilson in particular thought was that computing technology was going to save the country, sort of be a second act. And it never was. It was never able to be. So the impact of forcing women out of the field was really quite large on the nation's fortunes.
We could have been Silicon Valley.
Perhaps.
More than perhaps, surely. I mean, it's extraordinary. All this wonderful stuff going on in America, and the people who could have done it here were shoved out.
Yeah, exactly. And these fields at this point in time on both sides of the Atlantic, it's a very small field. So small numbers of people, hundreds, certainly thousands of people, make a huge difference in this context.
Why would you say it persists?
Well, this goes back to the question about the title. Computers run their programming. Societies also run their programming. And when we have programmed inequality and discrimination into the structures and the institutions that run our society, it's very, very hard to change. It's not a matter of people intending or not intending to discriminate against each other on an individual basis. It's really a matter of getting caught up in these systems that are, at their very basis, discriminatory.
I noticed that Google have very recently been accused of underpaying women, and Google has said it's too expensive to get wage data. How surprised are you by that?
I am not surprised, but I'm certainly disgusted. There have been a lot of jokes going around. Google said, oh, it will take us $100,000 to get this data, and people quipped, well, only $76,000 if you use women to do it. Google is a multi-billion dollar company, and they're saying that they can't afford a pittance in order to try to correct this problem of wage inequality. It's really disingenuous.
What changes do the technology firms need to make?
Well, I guess they have to start by complying with, for instance, the Department of Justice's requests to give information on how they're paying men versus women. And then in a more general sense, once they've done that, they have to take a very hard look at the culture that they foster within their companies, because culture is a huge problem. It's something that causes a lot of women to leave the field when they would like to remain in it.
Now, I remember cheering at the end of the film Hidden Figures. And I then wondered, these were women who worked at NASA, who were amazing scientists and mathematicians. And I wondered when I came away from that, well, okay, but what impact does a film like that have now? What do you reckon?
I think it has a really important impact on young people, on young women, but also people of all genders, because it lets them see, look, the past was much more interesting, maybe, than you've been led to believe in your other encounters with history. Black people were doing extraordinary things. Women were doing extraordinary things. And when people can see themselves in stories in the past like that, I think it really does change their outlook and give them hope for the future.
I was talking to Marie Hicks, the author of Programmed Inequality.